Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Afterlife Voicemail System. If you're trying to reach heaven, please press 1. For Yahweh, press 2. For Muhammad, press 3. If you're trying to reach Nirvana, you're going about it all wrong, so we certainly can't help you. If you'd just like to leave a message, wait for the beep.
Hello, welcome everyone to the Collective. I have a very exciting interview and talk with the wizard of the Vampire Court in Austin, Texas, Tim. He is also a tarot reader who has 6 years of experience. And he's coming on the show to kind of give us some information about the Vampire Court in Austin and what kind of exciting new things that they're having, you know, events, and also kind of talking about some very raw or, you know, very dark accusations made against them by Mix, who came on our show last month. So, Tim, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming on.
Oh, well, my pleasure. And just to kind of give my – I do vlog, so what I always say is my name is Tim Doyle, a.k.a. Rune Relic, and I am the Vampire Court Wizard for the Vampire Court of Austin.
Awesome.
And I'm looking forward to this interview and go from there.
Well, I definitely – before we start talking about, you know, the accusations and kind of doing a rebuttal for that –
mm-hmm.
Could you just, you know, share some information about the Austin Court? You know, how long has it been open, and what do you guys do exactly?
Well, that's actually a wonderful question. I'd love to talk about that. Basically, the Vampire Court of Austin, a.k.a. BCA, we are a court that has reached out to various vampires and other kin within the Austin community. We have done quite a bit within this community. We've been around for over 3 years now, and it's been an amazing, amazing, fast-paced 3 years. It's almost hard to believe since, you know, it's come so far since its creation and inception. We do various charity events, toy donations, can donations, volunteer work. We even do blood drawing and stuff like that. And we also have various different events. We have the Vampire Carnival coming up in May, May 26th
awesome.
To be exact, and at Elysium. So if anyone is in the Austin area during that time, is more than welcome to come, and we look forward to meeting various different people to come. And we have our annual Vampire Ball, and definitely looking forward to that. Our fourth year coming up this year, and are definitely looking forward to having this event and really meeting different people from different communities from all over the world. We've had people come from out of country, all across the U.S., from Canada, from Mexico, come to solely our events alone, which is very, very humbling, to say the least.
Yes.
And we definitely try to reach out as far as possible, and it seems we've had a very, very positive influence in that regard.
That sounds awesome, yes. Maybe I can get up that way. I live in Corpus, so I would love to come up and mingle with you guys. Okay, so what exactly, you know, I'm new to all this, but what exactly does a court wizard do? I mean, your title, what does it do? What's your...
Well, basically, my title as the court wizard is to basically give you an understanding of what the court wizard does. Is if you've ever like read various stories like Merlin or heck, even Yoda, for instance, it's more along the lines of being a guide, you know, in the spiritual spectrum to help people in the metaphysical world and stuff like that. Because not all of us in the VCA are spiritual. You know, some of us are very physical, and, you know, some of them are atheists. Some of them don't really touch on that spiritual plane. And so my job is to kind of balance it out, to help people who need spiritual guidance, who are so inclined, ultimately.
Okay, and how long have you been, I would assume that you've been working with, you know, various magics and things of that sort. And, how do you define yourself with your spirituality?
Well, I definitely consider myself a wizard in spirit, because the reason being I say that is because, for one, I just follow more a balanced practice of light and dark. I don't say that just because I'm vampiric, I follow the dark side of everything. And I'm not, when I say dark side, I don't mean evil or anything like that. It's just one of the lines of just, you know, kind of acknowledging the darkness, because without darkness, there is no light, and vice versa. But also, I consider myself more a wizardry because it's a study of magic in all of its forms. And that goes all the way from meditation to ceremonial magic to, I even say philosophy and science and mathematics. It's a study of magic in all its shapes and forms. You know, so that's why I really consider myself a wizard at heart.
That's definitely interesting. I know you also do, tarot readings, and you have, started your own kind of business around that. So, have you done it for 6 years, or, I know it said you had experience, but are you just now starting to have your own business with it, or,
I've been into magic since I was 13 years old. Well, actually, before I was 13, I've always been into magic. To give a more personal back note, I was raised, Christian, and I have very much respect towards that faith, but I just didn't resonate with it. And so I just walked a different path, and magic just really connected with me, I connected with it. And I've been into magic. I am starting my tarot business, and I actually have just recently started making my own candles, my own incense, and beginning the works of actually creating my own store. Yeah, a magic store. I hope to have a shop within the near future, which is something I'm really aiming for. I've always thought about it, but I've always been hesitant, because I'm not really one for the limelight, but it's just kind of like, what the heck, Because we have a strong pagan community here in Austin, and that's another motivation for me to really put myself out there. It's not just for the vampires and the other candidates, but for all people who are spiritual and awakened in their own right.
Yeah, and I was just mentioning to Joey, I think last time we were on the show, that, I think there definitely needs to be more people willing to teach, not just to look down on people like myself. I don't claim to be a vampire or anything, but I do... I want to learn all I can. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people kind of look down on that, especially, in different, occult and any kind of metaphysical. Try to get your foot in the door. But I appreciate you coming out and, definitely helping people and teaching people. That's really great.
And that's one thing I had a hard time with, because one of the things I always stress is, I do teach people and I do help people, but one thing I always tell people is that my way is not the only way. There are many paths to the top of the mountain, and so when people try to claim that they have the absolute ideal magic, or it's an ideal magic type of magic for themselves, it's not for everybody. And it could be for a wide variety of reasons. Karmically speaking, it's a wide range for everyone. And I feel like the best way to teach someone is to basically have them take in what is useful and discard what is useless. It's a Bruce Lee quote, because I'm very much into martial arts as well and philosophy. So I just, whenever I help people, I'm not like, this is the way you do it. You do it this time, at this day, in this way. I just try to help them as best I can, kind of give them the training wheels and kind of push them along,
Joey's with us as well. I think I forgot to mention that. So, Joey, do you have any questions for Tim?
Actually, when I first learned about the Vampire Court in Austin, I started looking around. I've always wanted to find more of like the pagan community in Tennessee where I live is pretty much non-existent except for one place here, and they're really great. But I've wondered, you know, I've looked at a few places online. The only one I really managed to find was the Court of Lazarus in New York. I wondered, are there groups like yours? I know there's one in Houston, but I wondered if you know of any others, like in other states that you're in contact with or your court's in contact with.
Oh, so like other, you know, courts that we're affiliated with, if you will?
Yeah.
We do have, established various relationships. I mean, we've just learned to kind of keep to ourselves within our own city because we do affiliate, we do talk, we try to help out various other communities. Like, for instance, if someone in the San Antonio or in another state are trying to establish themselves and just really need guidance, you know, we are more than happy to help and sort of, you know, create a bond and an understanding. We are definitely affiliated with Tarek, you know, in the Houston area. He's a great man. He's really just absolutely amazing guy. And we've definitely hit it off with him very well. And I think he's a very, very positive influence in the Houston area. So definitely Houston is one of those people that we really have a strong connection with. We have some people that we speak with are there in New Orleans and just a wide variety of people. But officially, do we have a connection to their house? Not so much. We mostly try to focus on building our own home, I guess you can say. So,
I'm curious to how many members of the court do you guys have? Is it a, you know, do you have an open door policy with the actual court, or is that something you have to process, you know, and kind of earn a position in? How does that
it's
work?
It's a process. It's a process.
Okay.
Because we had to establish a process because, not to be disrespectful, but, you know, any group is going to get those loony bins, you know, people who are, put it bluntly, role players. You know, that say, oh, I am such and such king, I am this or that age, and, you know, and all this and all that. I'm like, okay, let's go. It's not D&D. You know, I don't have anything against role players, but this is not a role-playing thing. You know, to a lot of people it is, and so therefore they think, you know, that they can just basically dress and act and period, and they're going to get in or whatever. So we have an application that we have people put in, and then the council reviews it. And really just talk with the individual and really get a feel for them and give them an honest yay or nay. Or if also depends if we're accepting. Well, now we've gotten to the point of accepting swans, a.k.a. donors, people who want to basically offer their services of allowing us to feed from them, you know, and stuff like that. But even still, that's their application process and various getting them tested blood-wise if they were to be for any sanguinarian trying to feed from them and so on and so forth. So we very much play it safe. We're open to anyone who wants to talk with us, i.e. as I'm talking to you right now. We're not, you know, like a secret society or anything like that. So, you know, it's just we've just really had to be careful on who we allow in.
Sure. And this is kind of a personal question, but I kind of wanted to ask because I'm curious. Did you go through what I guess is an awakening? And, you know, I love to hear people's stories about their awakening and, you know, how that came to be, if you're willing
to
let me know.
When I was, that's fine. When I was 13, I started to awaken, and basically awakening for me happened was basically I was becoming an insomniac because I would be exhausted through the day, but then when nighttime would come, I just felt like this charge. You know, like this connection to the night, and I would take like 3 or 4 hour long walks, just walk aimlessly around. And what happened was, I started kind of like just looking up, you know, meeting, talking to other people, different people in the middle of the night about these cravings. Basically, I started to like want, you know, raw steak, and my sex drive was just like going through the friggin' roof. You know, but of course, they could be tossed off to, you know, hormones, you know, reaching puberty and so on and so forth. And but then I remember feeding for the first time. It was a controlled environment. A friend of mine was willing to donate their blood to me. They basically made a little nick. And I fed, and it just literally awoke something in me. It was already awakening on its own, but that was kind of like the, I think it was smoldering, but when I fed for the first time, it kind of ignited into this full-blown type of flame, if you will. And just felt very empowering and very just, and just awakened and just eye-opening, you know, sensing things more strongly, psychically speaking, and, you know, and stuff like that. So it was a very interesting experience, awakening for the first time. It's like seeing the world with different eyes.
I guess I would, because there might be people listening, you know, the younger kids, you know, I hate to call them kids, but the younger group who,
yeah,
you know, might be going through the awakening process. And do you have any kind of, you know, wisdom that you could just pass down, you know, and share with somebody going through that? Is there, you know...
Yeah, absolutely. There are definitely there's some books that I strongly recommend. The Vampire Codex is definitely one of the books. I can't remember the author from the top of my head right now, but definitely one of the a great book to read in regards to learning how to help one control their nature, because everyone has this misconception, you know, of the vampire community due to various movies and media and stuff like that, that, you know, there's always wars and conflicts within the vampire community and so on. But in that regard, as far as helping them grow, control is everything, because it's very hard to control, because you're led by your instincts. You know, I myself am very familiar with that, being led by my impulses to feed on whoever, whenever, without any respect or regard. And I had to learn to rein myself in, i.e. meditation, just really finding an individual. And one thing I always say is, as you're coming up, is always introduce yourself as yourself. Don't say, "Hi, I'm Tim the Vampire." Just say, "Hi, I'm Tim." You know, there's, you know, cause, and then if you feel close enough with these individuals, then let them into your world, you know, a little bit by bit. Don't just, you know, flaunt it, and, you know, because it creates a lot of misunderstanding and misconception.
Yeah, I guess we should probably talk about the accusation that one of our former guests on the show, Mix, you know, he lives in Austin,
mm-hmm.
and he has a werewolf / lichen community there. And, you know, I guess I can rehash everyone the story from my perspective and what he's told me. You know, I guess he's was at one point trying, I guess he believes he is a werewolf and a vampire. And so he was trying to, you know, be accepted into the VCA and join you guys. And from his standpoint, there was some kind of altercation between Logan, who, you know, is the king vampire. And from there, he was kind of blacklisted, threatened, harassed. His friends were told that they could never talk to him again. Or they would be threatened, harassed, or beaten up. He has photos, you know, on his webpage. He claims that you guys just actually, you know, that Logan assaulted him March would be 22nd. He has some more pictures up. And, you know, as you know, troubling as those accusations are, that's why I contacted you guys, because, you know, you guys should have a rebuttal. Definitely would love to hear your guys's, you know, what the story is based, you know, from your guys' perspective.
Well, For one, he got quote unquote blacklisted by his own doing. Now, I know he's probably saying, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. Yes, he did. The reason why I say that is because, to give everyone who's listening the whole story of the matter, basically what happened was that he had custom fangs made from Logan, the king of the vampire court. This is before the court was even formed. This was just when it was all just, being planned and thought out. There was no inception yet. What happened was that he had basically harassed Logan due to the fact that the fangs weren't fitting. So Logan had offered to fix them. And because he had signed a contract before Logan gives you fangs, he makes you sign saying that there's no refunds, that this is for you. If you bite anybody and hurt anybody, he's not held liable, things like that, covering his legal grounds. And so he had offered to fix the fangs, and regrettably, this character, Jonathan, just was not happy with it and wanted his money back and was just adamant, give me my money, and things just progressively went from there to where, to put it quite simply, this guy just stalked Logan in a very unhealthy sort of way, and it progressed from there. As far as him being blacklisted, what happened was a lot of people in the VCA were going to him, talking to him. Now, originally we didn't have a problem with that, but what happened was he was stirring the pot. What I mean by that is that whenever there was an event coming at the club where he's not allowed into anymore, he would literally harass everybody to get in. And like, hey, can you bring me in? Can you talk to so-and-so to get me in? Can you talk to so-and-so and get me in? Now, the reason why he's not allowed at our events is because, again, he did it to himself. Now, the owner of the club, I'm not going to say his name out of respect, basically sat him down, pulled out his smartphone, put the stopwatch on, gave him 10 minutes. He said, I even heard from this from the owner himself. I sat down and talked with him about everything. And he said, told Jonathan, talk to me about anything other than Logan. Gave him 3 tries. Couldn't do it.
Huh.
And then this last time, he got allowed back in, but then what happened was we were being filmed by MTV. MTV had filmed the True Life episode. And from what we heard, and from what I spoke with the club owner about, was that Jonathan had live-action role-played, that they were vampire hunters, and that they were role-playing, that they were in the club killing vampires.
Huh.
So the club owner basically was like, hell no, because if something like that does happen, he's not going to be held liable, so he banned him for life. Because it was too risky. But originally we just didn't want him at the event, because he had been allowed back in the club, just not at our event. And again, he was harassing everybody. And so Lily messaging me, I actually have the messages saved of him asking me, hey, can you get me in? Can you ask John, Logan to get me in? Can you ask so-and-so to get me in, et cetera, et cetera. And he had harassed various other people not even affiliated with the court about asking them to bring him. And so we're just like, no. And so ultimately he shot himself in the foot. Now, as far as him getting beat up goes, no, that had nothing to do with us. Nothing. Basically, from what I understand, he has a smart mouth and it went off the wrong way and he paid the price. And now if one of our court members had done anything like that to him, they would be held accountable both to our laws, the VCA's laws, and also the Austin state and government laws. We don't quote unquote protect our own. If you mess up, you break the law, you own it.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
He actually messaged me on Facebook on the 23rd and said Logan assaulted him. and that, you know, you wanted to do an episode on the violence and the harassment that the VCA has. So, you know, it just, and he's got pictures up. I don't know if you can actually see the pictures, but, you know, I'm worried that if this is not, you know, and if this is some kind of made up story that he's, you know, trying to shovel dirt on you guys, that's a very serious.
Yeah,
you know,
those are very
serious
accusations. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
They're very serious accusations. And as far as what, you know, what happened with him is about, as far as him getting his ass handed to him, well, again, he brought it on himself. And now, as far as was it Logan that did it? No. Trust me when I say everyone in the VCA, like myself, for instance, I'm a single father. I have work. I do my tarot readings. I have events to go to. I have various people in the VCA that I'm helping. Logan, he makes his fangs. He's choreographing various events, coordinating various events, you know, living his life. We don't go out of our way to pursue anybody. We're literally way too busy for that. You know, and so when I hear things like this, it gives me a good chuckle because it's just not necessary, and it basically we're too busy for anything like that. Even if we, you know, and even if we did, we're not going to take a chance at violating the law. You know, we're not going to, you know, we're just. You know, that's why we have an application system, because we want level-headed people within the court. And Logan is the most level-headed guy I've ever met. Like, it honestly takes a lot to piss him off. Like, it really, really does. I have never really seen him, like, full-on angry, wanting to punch somebody. And the only time he's ever put his hands on anybody was in self-defense. And that was someone else entirely different, or a completely different issue. So for him to say that he was a victim of abuse because of the VCA, he's demonized us because, one, he's not allowed in. And again, that's of his own making. Because when they first initially, Logan and him had their falling out, we all told, you know, Jonathan, leave it alone. Give it a couple months. Just let it blow over. And then try and see if you can patch things up. Couldn't do it. Could not do it. Harassed Logan even further, things progressively got worse, and again, and this is not just my voice, this is not just the VCA's voice, this is the voice of friends who are not affiliated with the court in any way, shape, or form, and yet still coming to me and talking to me about what he's done. So as far as his accusations go, I mean, he's more than, I mean, I'm pretty sure he has all this, you know, fairy tale fantasy, you know, evidence, and I'm, you know, it's just basically there are more cons on his plate than pros.
Well, I don't want to, you know, spend too much time on that because, you know, it is a dark, you know, patch of you know, information. Hopefully, you know, maybe he can move on. We all should move on from things like that.
Most definitely.
I really appreciate you, you know, stepping forward and, you know, just addressing it. You know, I know a lot of his friends tuned in last month when he was on, and I just want you guys to have an equal, you know, platform in which to kind of address it. But before the show ends, and I know it says 40 seconds till the end, but we'll kind of carry on for a couple more minutes afterwards. I would love to just, I know you are starting to do readings, and so if you want to plug yourself in, give your Facebook link, kind of talk about it, you're more than welcome to do that.
Oh, excellent.
Before we go.
I've been doing readings for over 6 years, and I've just recently started opening my business. It's currently doing tarot reading. I do various types of tarot reading. And I have it's been really overwhelming on all the help that I've been receiving. Basically, right now I'm charging like $30 for 15 minutes, $50 for a 30-minute reading, and then $90 for an hour reading. And this can cover a wide range of things. And one thing I will definitely let people know is I am very blunt. I don't really sugarcoat things. If I see something in the cards, I will tell you. Whenever I've read cards, either over the phone or mostly in person, if I feel something in the cards or I feel something from the individual in person, I'll always look away from the individual to not kind of give that cold reading kind of vibe, because I don't like that. I find it very distasteful. And I've been doing various forms of magic. I'm getting into doing house cleansings as well. As I said, I'm making my own candles and incense, for which I'll begin to start selling as well. And just really reaching out to all sorts of people. It doesn't have to be just solely vampiric or other kin. I'm talking about people who are just curious about the spirit world, spirit realm, wanting to know what's ahead for them in the relationship department, and what life, you know, has in store for them, or what sort of guidance do they need to help improve their lives. And so that's what I offer.
What is your Facebook, so everyone can get on and get a hold of you? What is your Facebook?
Okay. My entertainer, my actual business page is Rune Relic, R-U-N-E space R-E-L-I-C, and it'll be with me with a top hat holding a dragon staff. And my actual personal page is Tim Doyle, which is T-I-M space D-O-Y-A-L, Royal but with a D. And
awesome.
Anyone who wishes to add me or message me are more than happy and welcome to.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to wrap this up because we actually have gone over time. But I would hope to, you know, have you come back on and maybe do an open Q&A with some live callers. I know, unfortunately,
absolutely,
we couldn't take callers at this point because we kind of wanted to address some things with you first. But
of course,
I really appreciate you coming on. You sound like an amazing person. I hope your tarot reading and all that, you know, is blessed and rockets to the roof, and one day, you know, get you where you want to be with your goals. But
absolutely.
Thank you so much, Tim.
And, my pleasure. And I will go ahead and leave on this note. It's a saying I always say on my vlogs, which is Semper Fidelis et Benedictus, which is Latin for always faithful and blessed be.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tim. You guys, everyone at the collective, thank you for having us, listening in, and we will see you next Saturday. Goodbye.